So anyhow, you mentioned that now we have three approved CDK4/6 inhibitors. You're catching up to the PARP inhibitor people. They got three PARP inhibitors already too, and five checkpoint inhibitors approved in bladder cancer. I mean, anyhow, what a world, huh?
Well, it's interesting that when things work, they work, and you get these breakouts, right? So drug companies, they respect each other's work. They see where there's a crack, and they pour through it, and it's good. Hopefully, that will create more options for patients, maybe even price competition for patients.
Well, anyhow, I want to see how you're sorting out the CDK thing, because you guys at Dana-Farber really been in leadership role, Sarah Tulaney, et cetera, that you mentioned in this work. And you have this 63-year-old lady. Why don't we start with her and we can kind of get into how you're choosing a CDK inhibitor nowadays?
So this is a 63-year-old woman who had hormone receptor positive metastatic breast cancer. She was diagnosed with a right-sided breast cancer in 2007. She had a mastectomy for a 2.3-centimeter tumor. She had metastatic carcinoma in 2 out of 13 nodes and had received adjuvant AC and taxane chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and was on letrozole. In 2013, late in the year, she had bone recurrence, and she'd been treated with zoledronic acid and then had begun fulvestrant for about 2 years. And then in 2015, she'd progressed in the bone and had developed mediastinal lymphadenopathy, and so we'd begun capecitabine chemotherapy. And she had sort of an initial response and then had stabilization of her disease.
Could I just ask you, you were taking care of her then?
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting when I saw this case history. So she recurred on letrozole, but I think she was on it for 7 years.
Yeah.
So she went past 5 years, but she recurred on it. Then she gets fulvestrant, stays on that for 2 years. I was surprised she didn't go to some other hormonal therapy at that point. Why she went to capecitabine?
In 2014, 2015?
Yeah.
Another hormonal therapy, like a Megace or something like that?
What about an AI?
Well, she'd progressed on letrozole.
So you wouldn't go back to exemestane or exemestane everolimus?
I've had funny experiences with everolimus. I mean, I've seen some nice responses, and I've also seen a lot of squirrely toxicities. So I can't say exactly that I remember why the patient ended up down the capecitabine path here, but I think that's a reasonable choice.
Yeah, no, I mean, certainly it's oral, and I was just kind of curious because I know you're a real hormonalist. And, of course, this patient would be managed totally different. She would have had a CDK inhibitor at first relapse nowadays, right?
Probably so. And so that's the interesting point this case poses. So now she's got sort of a smoldering cancer, slow progression in the lymph nodes, rising tumor markers, minimally symptomatic, and no visceral disease. And so now we are back, actually, sort of revisiting this question of endocrine therapy. And, you know, at this point, I would like to use a CDK4/6 inhibitor with some endocrine therapy, or as monotherapy, I suppose. So now we have accumulated some data on what CDK4/6 inhibitors can do in this setting. There have been trials of single-agent palbociclib here with response rates on the order of about 8%. Abemaciclib, the MONARCH 1 trial, looked at patients sort of rather similar to this, showed a response rate of just under 20%, and that outcome made it into the FDA label when it was approved. So, you know, I think that this is a nice opportunity to reintroduce endocrine therapy and in combination with the CDK4/6 inhibitor. And there have actually been a number of patients we've had over the past few years who had had endocrine treatments in years past, had been chugging down the chemotherapy train track, and now we can loop back and reintroduce endocrine treatments in combination with the CDK4/6.